We are back and there's no break.
Whoa. I'm ready for that. Hello.
Hello.
How do you? How been you? Caught me off guard then.
Well.
Yeah. Welcome back to Box.
What are we talking about this week, Sam?
Dunno.
You have a piece of paper that tells you.
Dunno. I'm joking. We're talking about the Hungarian GP.
We are. We're going to be talking about Lando and, Lando Norris to bottle or not, to bottle.
That Christian Horner to lead another team. For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Obviously, there's a summer break.
And then towards the end of the episode, we're going to be diving in, and I don't want to say too in-depth, but definitely a bit in there. The 200 McLaren race wins in Formula 1 and who may have done it.
Sensational. I mean, obviously, we've got to keep it short and sweet because I'm on a bit of a time crunch today. Our auto smart rep just decided to show up out the blue and gave us goodies. And it's really hard.
We love goodies.
To not take up goodies. But I'll tell you, Dom, before we actually get into news, firstly, what are you wearing?
Aston Martin.
And?
Love the green.
I feel we've got podcast, well, it's not podcast competition, because let's be honest, we're not going to compete with the platform. But big shout out to Box Bella.
Yeah, congratulations on starting your own pod. I don't know what it's going to entail, and obviously there's going to be, I think there's going to be a lot of like interviews with famous people.
I feel it's going to be like Chicken Shop Day, but for F1.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, I'm up there. Also, big shout out to John.
Big shout out to John.
John the Mechnic. We said we'd give him a shout out.
Yeah, there you go. We're like 2 minutes into the episode and he's got his shout out already. Winner.
How's Honda?
Honda's good. How's the Mazda?
Still broke. Fucking new intercooler. Thought he was like, nah, it's fucked.
Well, there we go.
Merck needs new brake pads as well. Fucking nearly 200 quid. Nice one on that one.
Well, pleasantries aside, should we dive into the news in Formula One this week?
Yeah, do you want to take the first or do you want me to?
You can go straight on with the first, considering it's talking about something similar to your issues.
You can get fucked. You can absolutely get fucked. Anyway, Mercedes scraps rear suspension upgrade. Mercedes has abandoned recent suspension upgrade that was undermining the performance. The team has returned to its previous setup and
That provides
better driver confidence and predictability, rising hopes for stronger results in upcoming races. I'll be honest, mate, Mercedes have been off the pace, you know.
Well, it makes sense given the performance and the podium from George this week. So,
yeah, 100%. Like, it's sometimes like, I understand the whole purpose of F1 is that, like, obviously teams that they innovate and they develop and get better and better. But it's also on the flip side, mate, like, where sometimes if it ain't broken, don't fix it.
Exactly.
Moving on though.
Yeah. So F1 officially now has entered the summer shutdown period. So F1 is now in its mandated summer shutdown where teams are required to cease all competitive operations for 2 weeks. The break is designed to enforce cost control and give team personnel much needed rest. Which makes sense. We're doing the same thing.
I mean, yeah, but I know we said we'd continue during the summer breaks and off season, this podcast will continue. Don't stress about that. But we've been really busy. There's a fly flying around actually. It's fucking me off. We've been really busy with, obviously, this, work. Our main business. And we're just tired.
It's taken a toll. We'll talk more about what we're going to get up to.
So we'll talk about that. And you know what? I dread to imagine like working in F1. Imagine the jet lag.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, so I don't know if you're aware of this, but in the summer shutdown, you're not even allowed to like open your work laptop and respond to emails or anything. It's complete. Nothing. Can't do.
I fuck with that, you know.
Like, it's...
It forces people to have a break.
Yeah, you absolutely... You can't do anything. And if you get caught, the fines and penalties are ridiculously severe.
Imagine that, getting fined for having a day off. I fuck with that.
Imagine, it's like, you got 2 weeks of annual leave and you just think, oh, I'll just check my email. I'll like, pop onto LinkedIn for a second. Like, bam, 50 grand fine. Anyway... Moving swiftly on,
Alpine seat drama intensifies after Colapinto crash. Franco Colapinto suffered a crash during testing and required medical checks, fueling speculation about his future at Alpine. Rumours are swirling that Sergio Perez, armed with a substantial sponsorship backing, could be lined up as a potential replacement. So that's interesting, you know, like there's a lot of speculation of if Checo's coming back at the minute.
I don't think he is.
I don't know. I mean,
that's pulled straight from the whole World Wide Web. So I don't know how true it is. But at the moment,
I have actually seen the speculation of Checo coming back, and it's I do kind of miss having a Mexican on grid.
Fair enough.
Like it's. Oh, I feel. I don't know if you still got it there.
Go on,
Checker.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Don't know if you still got it. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, because obviously he's a great driver, but maybe it'd be good at somewhere like Alpine, because he can bring the knowledge of working at top tier teams.
Would make sense.
And obviously Alpine are climbing from strength to strength at the minute. Moving swiftly on though, Dom.
Yeah, so Cadillac are officially joining as the 11th team in F1. We've known that for a while now. But Cadillac's entry into Formula One in 2026 has gained more support within the paddock. It's seen as a move that could grow the sport's popularity in the US while adding fresh competition and sponsorship opportunities.
Sorry. So, context to me laughing my ass off. So, for some reason, this is an ADHD thing, right? But for the whole of this week, for some reason, me and Dom have been singing the Team America theme.
Yeah, we have. All week.
And I wanted to know what Lance Stroll would look like as a Team America character.
Have you, like, ChatGPT'd this? Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's got to be... We've got to post that as... We'll post that on the Instagram episode. On Instagram and TikTok and everything.
God, that's...
Lit before the episode goes live, just with zero context. No caption, no nothing. Maybe.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
So maybe that would be what Lance Stroll would look like.
Speaking of which, this episode is brought to you unofficially by Liquid Death.
It's not. I brought the Liquid Death here for this episode.
What does it taste like? Tap water?
Don't know. TikTok shop. That's where I got it from. Anyway. Hydration break aside. Also notes, Las Vegas has added single day tickets and amid the accessibility push. So in an effort to attract more fans, the Las Vegas Grand Prix will offer single day tickets starting at $125, which seems
reasonable. That's very reasonable.
The race weekend will also host the F1 Academy finale for the first time, further boosting its appeal. I didn't put this in the news and we didn't talk about it. We brushed straight past it, but I have no fact to back any of this up either. But Horner and his future to lead another team on the grid.
About it.
Alpine, Aston or Ferrari are the three most rumoured, talked about teams. So Ferrari's, no.
Ferrari's been disproven because obviously it's Fred's just signed a new contract. I think we spoke about that on last week's pod as well.
But it's only another year, so it could be a 27.
I mean, I know a lot of people's fear at the minute is that Horner becomes part of the FIA.
Yeah.
And that would really fucking throw a shit.
Do you really think that would happen, though?
I mean, you say that, but look at the FIA at the minute.
Very sceptical. But Alpine is... It could be... I mean, you've got to remember Flavio's taking the lead at the minute. And finally, the last one would be Aston. I mean... I can't think.
Who actually is the team principal for Aston at the minute?
Lawrence Stroll.
Oh, is it actually Lawrence Stroll?
I think so.
I know he's the owner, but I didn't think he was the principal.
Yeah, I think he might. Well, I don't know for a fact.
Fake fans.
But fans. Yeah, you've got to think. Aston Martin, 2027. Christian Horner leading with an Adrian Newey car.
Andy Cowell.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's it.
With a newly designed car, new design. Horner leading and Max Verstappen.
And Honda engines. The thing is, for me, you're just rebuilding Red Bull, though.
But yeah.
You're rebuilding Red Bull, and I think maybe that might not be the right thing for the team.
Who knows?
Like, we never do. One thing before... question, is Hamilton's comments from the weekend, are they in the notes?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
They are in here. We'll get through them.
I was about to say, because I wanted to bring that up now before we get into the race.
That is a notable event in the post talking about the race.
I was about to say, because I thought it was pre-race.
He was talking about them pre-race, but it is in there.
Yeah. I mean, well, let's get into it. So, obviously, we're hungry this weekend.
I'm not hungry at the moment.
The Hungaroring.
Beautiful country. Been there.
Mate, we've just eaten that bodyweight food. Honestly, this one, the better episodes, it's because we eat before them. They're less chaotic. But yeah, obviously we were at Hungary this weekend at the Hungaroring. We weren't, but we were there in spirit.
We weren't, but if someone wants to pay for us to go.
Yeah, safe. Anyway, so Ferrari on pole.
Ferrari on pole.
You know what? It was nice to see a Ferrari on pole, but again, this sounds bad. And I know, obviously, there's no spoilers because the race has been and happened. Everybody knows the result. And I was surprised that Leclerc wasn't on the pole, well, the podium at the end. But those Ferraris, they just haven't got the pace in them.
It's not even the pace. It's the team. Leclerc had a problem. Leclerc had a lot to say about it. Verstappen. Hamilton's been saying a lot about it recently.
I mean, Hamilton's even been saying it's not the car because it's on pole, but for me, just because the car can qualify fast.
It's not the car because it's on pole, but also why did Red Bull have two drastically different performing cars?
That's exactly what I've been saying to everyone.
It's the same thing. Verstappen's been in Red Bull, knows the car inside out, and the car's practically built for him, so therefore he will perform better.
Again, same with Leclerc and Ferrari.
Exactly.
Charles knows that car. He knows their Ferrari's drive. So obviously he's going to outperform Hamilton at this moment in time. So say, for example, do a role reversal and put Leclerc in a Mercedes.
Yeah.
Mercedes in 21.
Yeah.
Hamilton knew those cars.
Yeah.
And it's one of those ones where, it was great to see Ferrari on pole.
Yeah.
And you know for a fact, Charles really had to push to get that P1.
He did.
Really had to push. But yeah, moving on.
Well, again, so we're in round 14 of 24, so that means there is only 10 races left of the season.
Oh, God.
Mental. I mean, we do have, I think it's 3 weeks of nothing.
But, yeah, so we got we've got a little bit of gap.
But yeah, so on the topic of the race, in true, it was a great start from a lot of people, to be fair.
Oh, mate,
it was Alonso, Russell.
You know what, for me, Alonso,
both the McLarens did well this one.
Alonso was my driver of the day.
Yeah, he did fucking really, really well.
I hope that's
why
you were in Aston Martin today.
I picked it up because it was the top shirt in the pile of Formula One shirts.
Fair enough. Is that how it's working?
That's how it works now. Unless it's kind of a big deal, or we're going to talk about something in particular and be like, yeah.
Makes sense.
I just picked the Aston one.
No, Alonso drove incredibly.
He did.
You know, it shows it why he's still got a seat.
Yeah.
Well, really shows why he's got a seat.
As I said, F1 Arcade for Spa is, don't write off. I mean, it didn't work in my favour for that, but don't write off Lance Stroll in the wet, because I'm not saying he's good in the wet, but I'm saying he's surprising in the wet.
Both the Astons qualified well.
Yeah, well, if you skip ahead a page and look at the results, both of the Astons were in the points.
And the considerably. That ain't even a newy car either.
No. So.
It comes to the point that Alonso and Stroll, which Aston Martin, they're a mid-pack team at this moment in time, were above the 4-time world champion and 7-time world champion.
Yeah.
Just think about that for a second. But yeah, moving on, obviously. So Piastri overtakes Leclerc. I'll be honest, one hell of an overtake.
Yeah. As always from Piastri.
The thing is with Piastri, he has controlled fear.
Yeah.
He knows his limits and he isn't afraid to push.
That's what makes him so composed. And
yeah, he isn't afraid to push when he needs to. And I think he's going to be a multi-time world champion.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
He ain't going to have one. He's going to be 2-3, maybe 4, if not 5. I'd say, looking at him now.
I would say 4 at least, yeah.
Yeah, his pace, it's just, he's unbelievable. You know what? I'll be honest, I actually felt for Verstappen because he was really off the pace this weekend.
He was. But do you know what? From the team radio that we heard.
I think it was the car.
Yeah,
I can't believe I'm saying that. And I know we always joke.
He didn't seem like he was moaning, but he didn't seem as moany as he normally would be, especially considering he finished in what? Ninth?
Yeah.
One spot ahead of Antonelli. But so Verstappen finished one place behind Liam Lawson in the V carb.
And if you want proof that the Red Bull's car ship, there it is.
Because, yeah. And I mean, Tsunoda was 17th.
I'll be honest though, maybe as well, maybe because Horner's gone, he hasn't got to battle the team as much.
Yeah.
Because obviously, I know we always joke with Verstappen and that he throws his toys at the pram, but obviously you don't know what was being said behind closed doors.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree there, mate.
Like with Lauren Mekes now, he could be like, Max, we agree. It's the car. The car's not good.
Yeah.
And we're going to improve the car and make it better and get it competitive, because it's not competitive anymore.
No. It's not the dominant force.
It's not Red Bull of the last 4 years where they've just been...
4 or 5 years, to be fair.
Yeah, just a force that nobody can touch. And to be honest, what McLaren's probably going to be.
Yeah.
The next couple of years. But yeah, like he really struggled to get to that mid-pack. And
well, on the topic of Verstappen...
yeah, go on.
The Hamilton-Verstappen moment where they nearly collided... no penalty in regards to that. I don't think a penalty would even be justified. I understand the investigation into it, and after watching it a few times myself, did Verstappen push Hamilton off the track? I think yes, but it was just a racing incident. Like Verstappen was taking the line and he weren't going to budge. That's Verstappen's mentality. Move out of my way or crash.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, But Verstappen's very old school like that.
But he didn't put Hamilton in any danger. He just pushed him off the track in a runoff, not through some gravel or anything like that. So yeah, you were in the way. I was evidently faster. And
I was on the line. I was faster.
Yeah, so. Right. Bitch, get out the way.
Now, like that's, you know, 100% I agree there.
Should we talk about Norris's one stop and... just how
beast mode.
So for the first half of the race, after watching Norris, I was like, he's bottled it.
Yeah. And then same. I'll be telling you, I was like, I thought that's it, he's bottled
it. And then like the last 10-15 laps was like, ooh, he's got it, he's pulled it back. And then obviously the last few laps was like, oh shit, he's bottled it again. But he was on a one stop and Piastri was on a two. So this is the other thing though. I understand being on a one stop means you've got to make your tyres last longer so you can't drive as fast.
Yeah,
it's a long game. But the fact that Piastri was finished within a second of him on a two stop and Norris was only on a one stop.
I'll be honest, mate. Like, I know we say it a lot, but mate, one more lap, two more laps, Piastri would have had him.
I really think one more lap.
One more
it
lap
would have took the pressure off him.
Yeah, because
he wouldn't have made that cock up either.
Well, he would have had that lock up, like, because obviously when he was on that lap, was it like lap 69 or something when he was on?
Yeah,
no, it was his 60 hour thing when he was on that push lap,
and
yeah. he was giving it everything, and obviously he just locked up.
Speaking of battles towards the front, Russell and Leclerc fighting for P3.
You know what? Like,
it was devastating to watch. As much as like, I'd rather be patriotic and choose Russell over Leclerc. It was painful and upsetting to watch Leclerc lose P3.
Yeah, he was off the podium then.
Yeah, it was after starting like top step and finishing fourth for him. It was a bit painful. But
I get it, mate, because it's one of them ones where like Charles has really been working hard to get onto the podium this year, and he hasn't had how many podiums he's had this year? One, two?
No idea.
He hasn't had many podiums this year. And
I feel like we should get like a little screen, almost like a teleprompter, to put by the camera that has all the basic stats of like driver wins, driver podiums.
You know what? We've got 3 weeks break coming up. We're gonna see what happens.
We're gonna make some magic, because there's been a few times like, how many races have they won? How many poles? How many times have they started? How many points? Yeah, all things like that.
No, 100%. I agree. But yeah, mate, honestly, like I agree. It was devastating to watch him just drop down. Well, go from P1 down to P4.
It all down to strategy, though.
Yeah, it was.
In true Ferrari fashion.
Like, I know we joke about the Tagliatelle tactics, which is like obviously one of our running jokes from when we used to play F1
22, I think.
Yeah. But it's one of those ones where like Ferrari's strategy, that it's abysmal. Like, I feel that no other race team performs a strategy. Like, for me, Kick Sauber's got a better race strategy.
Yeah, they really, really, really do.
But talking of incredible race strategy, was McLaren's pit stop.
McLaren, didn't they? They did a, was it a 1.9?
Oh, I thought it was 1.8, 1.81 or something.
I know it was sub 2 second
stop. Yeah, I'll have a look now. Like,
that was good from them.
Dom, talk.
Piastri changes on fresher tyres late on, closes in rapidly on Norris. So yeah, that's why.
Sorry, yeah, it was 1.94 seconds.
1.94.
Do you know what? Stop. Four tyres in under 2 seconds.
But it takes me 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's you. That's you with the Chinese ugga dugga though.
Yeah.
No, but for real, mate, like doing four tyres up, down and out in under 2 seconds is actually incredible, you know.
Rocket man.
Like it. Absolutely credit. You know, that just shows again what when you've got good race strategy and a good team, like and a good pit crew.
I think we should jump straight ahead now to the notable events. So obviously, Norris does take the win and secures McLaren's 200 win streak. So, well, not streak, 200 win total, using his bold one lap strategy.
Yeah,
about that.
Yeah,
we'll dive into that a little bit more shortly, and then Piastri finishing
a 600th of a second behind in that last lap was fucking tension, though, because Piastri wanted P1. You could tell he wanted it.
6/10. Sorry, that was.
Yeah, 6/10.
Again, as we bang on, one more lap, but.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, 200th victory for McLaren. Carrying on, Dom.
Norris, obviously, staying out longer on his hard tyres, securing the 1-2 for McLaren, which again, we'll dive into more of McLaren's 1-2s.
I will say there was no real team orders either. It wasn't like swap places or...
No, the only team order was...
Bars, remember how we race.
Don't fuck it up, basically.
Yeah, because imagine if on that last lap they would have crashed.
George said it in the cool down room, didn't he, when he saw the lockup for Piastri?
Yeah.
He was like, oh, I wish you'd have took him out. Or you should have took him out. It would have been more interesting for me then. George Russell on the top step. That would have been after that race anyway.
Do you ever think, when George Russell gets on the podium, he does like the me jump?
Yeah.
Remember on Nintendo Wii, like when you select the me and they did a little jump?
Yes.
Like he does that every time and it just fucking cracks me up, man.
So the end of this race does mean that Piastri retains the championship lead with just 9 points ahead of Norris going into the summer break.
Obviously Russell snatches P3, overtook Charles Leclerc, as we said, taking the final podium spot. But again, Mercedes, they're still showing signs of life after recent struggles.
They have had a bit of a shit show this year in general, haven't they?
It's been a really, for me, one of the top three teams on the... So, for example, if you're going to say your top three teams, at the minute, it'd be McLaren, Mercedes...
Ferrari.
And Ferrari's been a bit of a shit show all over the place. Mercedes has been really inconsistent. The only consistent one has been McLaren. McLaren have just been so locked in and laser focused. Now, I want to talk about the Hamilton comments, that pre-interview where he feels he's lost it.
Well, that's the thing. I think all weekend has not been a good weekend for Ferrari.
I think he got into his own head, you know.
Well, with Leclerc moaning about his starting on pole and finishing fourth, and the Ferrari strategy it just left both of the drivers frustrated, even before the race. Which I know you're dying to get talking about here is no. Hamilton's
mate. I was devastated, honestly.
He looked, but I don't believe him though. I know you could see the emotion in him talking about.
I think it's one of those ones where, for me, hear me out, right? You know, I am as a person, I'm terrible for getting into my own head.
Yeah,
and putting myself down and imposter syndrome. And I feel he felt he was really getting imposter syndrome. I think there's nothing more for me. Hamilton's always been a hero of mine.
Yeah,
it was Chewie, then it was Hamilton, and it's devastating to see somebody who you've always looked up to as a hero and obviously the greatest Formula One driver on paper of all time and one of the goats of all time, saying that he feels he's lost it and that he's just not good and maybe the team should just get another driver. And I'm like, that's. I mean, obviously we spoke. I remember off camera and off the pod. We spoke before we started this about Ferraris where F1 drivers go to die, and it's so fucking sad and true.
Yeah. We'll see.
I really hope.
It's his first year.
I really hope Ferrari can do some personnel changes because I think that's what needs to happen.
You've got to look at it is name a driver on the grid this season that started with a new team that's performed better than Hamilton.
Kimi Antonelli.
Fair. But Yeah, but even so.
No, but to be fair, again, Kimi did a shitload of pre-seat time and he came through Mercedes driver program, didn't he?
He did.
So he has got...
Bortoleto has done well and Hajar. They've both kind of jumped into new machinery and adapted quickly. But you've got to remember that Ferrari do things... Well, Ferrari have their own Tagliatelle tactics and they do things a lot differently to many other drivers.
Yeah, exactly.
Teams on the grid.
Exactly.
So.
Like, Ferrari are unapologetically Ferrari. And
you can't call it a shitbox. It's a Ferrari.
It's a shitbox. It's a great film. No, but honestly, like it's just devastating, mate. Like, and obviously with Charles Leclerc as well. Like you've got fantastic drivers. You've got a half decent car, but then you've just got like a team of race engineers who are absolute, for no better of a word, spastics.
I was gonna go with bellend, but yeah.
Like you know, I forgot about that word and then I just saw it the other day. I saw somebody, I heard somebody say it the other day and I was fucking howling, you know.
Right, shall we jump into the post-race
results?
I'm
definitely getting cancelled, you know.
Yeah. It's what it is.
Right, post-race.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. I win.
You take evens, I'll take
so heads. In P1, securing himself one more race victory so far than his teammate, Lando Norris.
In P2, we have Oscar Piastri.
P3, George Russell.
P4, Charles Leclerc.
Fernando Alonso takes P5.
Driver of the day for me. P6 was Gabriel Bortoleto, doing surprisingly well for Gabriel. Normally in the back of the pack. Moving on, Dom.
P7 is Lance Stroll.
P8 is Liam Lawson.
P9, Max Verstappen. It's
fucking blazon one, that was. P10, Kimi Antonelli.
P11, Isaac Hajar.
P12, Lewis Hamilton.
Sir Lewis Hamilton.
That's what I said?
No, I said Sir Lewis
Hamilton. Sir Lewis Hamilton, yeah.
P13, Nico Hülkenberg.
P14, the smooth operator, Carlos Sainz.
P15, Alex Albon.
P16, didn't get a time penalty this time, Esteban Ocon.
P17, Yuki Tsunoda.
P18, Franco Colapinto.
P19, Pierre Gasly.
And back of the pack, P20, Ollie Bearman. You know, I've realised...
With the DNF, that was.
With the DNF, I wonder why the font was different. Yeah. If you notice, Verstappen is literally basically sat in between all the rookies.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
And Lewis Hamilton is... God, this is heartbreaking to read.
So, the predictions from our last race. Sam, yours was Piastri, Verstappen, Leclerc.
Yeah.
You'd got no points. Mine was Piastri, Leclerc, Russell. I got 1 point for Russell in P3. And then my dad's prediction was Norris, Piastri, Leclerc.
So now, he gets 2 points.
So he gets 2 points. If Leclerc would have lost, if Leclerc wouldn't have lost P3.
Yeah.
My dad would have.
Well, we're double that. Or nothing this. So you either get it all right or nothing.
No, double. If you get double points.
So you get 2 points for Russell, then your dad gets 4.
Yeah. And I don't know where that leaves us, but we'll talk about that. So, obviously, we've got to talk about the 200th win, well, F1 race win for McLaren. So,
yeah.
An interesting statistic that I found out while researching this was McLaren's 1-2 percentage ratio is 28%. So, McLaren have a 28% chance. Well, no, in their history, 28% of their...
Wins have been wanted. That's fucking mental, you know.
I don't know of any more statistics behind that.
That's crazy. That's crazy. But yeah, most wins in one season has been 15.
Think we're about to surpass that, not going to lie.
Yeah, same. And consecutive wins is 11. So Dom's done a driver list in order of success. Now, in no surprise who is on the top of this list, Dom, is...
For McLaren. This is only wins with McLaren. So yeah. But go on.
Like top of the list, the legend, the greatest of all time. And I know I say that Lewis is, but this man is truly the GOAT. No one will ever be as good as this guy. Ayrton Senna, 35 wins and 26 from pole. Do you know how fucking good you have to be to do that?
I don't know. I've never been that good at anything.
I don't know.
Taking the second spot in McLaren's win ratio is... Alan Prost.
Dickhead.
With 30 wins and 8 from pole. So.
Do you reckon he was just throwing baguettes at people?
Maybe.
This episode's getting arranged. Right, anyway, another legend, 21 wins, 11 from pole, and it is Lewis Hamilton.
That is, again, only including wins for McLaren.
Yeah, these are just wins with the McLaren team.
So, coming from Finland, Mika Häkkinen takes 20 wins with 10 from pole.
Then we got DC, David Coulthard, with 12 wins with one from pole.
Only one?
That's mad, you know.
Crazy. Hunt the Shunt, James Hunt taking 9 wins, 7 from pole. Or again, only McLaren's.
Then we have, for me, one of the most entertaining drivers of all time, Kimi Raikkonen, the Finn again, with 9 wins and 3 from pole.
Then, matching that with a slightly higher pole ratio, is the current driver on the grid, Lando Norris, with 9 wins, 6 from poles.
Then we have another legendary F1 driver, Niki Lauda, with 8 wins, but with none from pole. That throws me, you know. Didn't know that.
I suppose it didn't have the qualifying pace.
Yeah, must have. Look at it. But he could just race.
Which makes sense. Jenson Button taking 8 wins with 1 from pole.
Then we have, again, current lineup, Oscar Piastri, 8 wins and 3 from pole.
So, yeah, Oscar, still only one.
Behind Lando.
Yeah, crazy.
But Lando's with a lot more from pole.
Yeah. Denny Hulme from New Zealand. 6 wins, none from pole.
Then we have Emerson
Fittipaldi.
Cheers, mate.
You're welcome.
5 wins and 2 from pole.
Then we have John Watson. You know what? I haven't heard. I don't actually know a fat lot about him. The name just sticks out.
Yeah, same.
John Watson with 4 wins, none from pole.
Then we've got Fernando Alonso, the Spaniard. 4 wins, 2 from pole.
Then we have Gerhard Berger from Austria. 3 wins, 1 from pole.
Then we have the man with one of my favourite names in Formula One, Juan Pablo Montoya, with 3 wins and 1 from pole. I heard, you know, the 1 from pole was because he was running on some special white powder.
Colombian marching powder.
Yes, a Colombian mark.
Peter Revson, a name I've actually never heard of before, but a driver from the US of A, with 2 wins, none from pole.
And then we have quite possibly the most New Zealand name of all time, Bruce McLaren, the man, the myth, with 1 win, none from poles.
Then we have Joan Mass from Germany with 1
is
win.
Is that Joan Mass
poles.
Or is that Jochen?
I don't know, fake fans.
We'll find out. Then here's time for another crazy.
You're going to butcher it.
Right, here we go. We're going to go with Heikki Kovalainen.
Kovalainen.
Come on, that was a decent figure.
It was a good one.
With 1 win, no poles, then you know what? The man. The myth.
The man that is the reason Zak Brown has a tattoo. Daniel Ricciardo taking his 1 win with McLaren, none from pole.
But you know what? We're going to be going into a break for a couple of weeks now, just so we can recover. So we can do, because we kind of smashed the studio together and it's better, but there's a few little bits we want to do and we need a bit of time to do it.
We're gonna tidy everything up and just...
But don't get me wrong, the podcast in this form is on pause, but there's still going to be content coming out.
Yeah, so the next guaranteed episode that we are going to be doing of Box 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 Pod will air on the 29th of August, which will
be... Covering the Dutch GP warm-up and predictions, as well as a little catch-up.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely talk. There'll be near enough 3 weeks of news for us to catch up on. If there's any kind of headlines,
there might be like little short and sweet episodes. If there's anything big that comes out, if you see a random episode, we'll talk about it.
We'll definitely chuck some social content up if there's any kind of breaking news, won't we?
Yeah,
I mean, like Daniel Ricciardo signs for Red Bull or something like that.
It'll be like when obviously Horner got the sack and I smashed that video. Like probably once a week, we'll probably smash one of those out because they don't take too much time.
What will we be doing through the summer break ourselves, Sam?
So obviously we'll be playing F125 and we'll be live streaming that.
We might do some live streams. Don't know where.
There is a giant box and it's been offset. Do you want to get it done?
Go grab it. It's not as entertaining if you like say it. You kind of have to show it, don't you? But wait there.
So I understand that last week's video didn't go up. I'm terrible at getting full episodes up. But we have a giant box of Lego here.
So these are the tiny, these are like the little ones. I think they're about between £3 and £5 each. and I've been digging around to try and make sure that I've got one of all of them. So a little bit of ASMR here. You ready?
Fuck yeah.
But yeah, we'll be building those.
We're also literally going to be resting.
Yep. I might buy another like Lego Formula One.
There may be a box, the pit wall where you'll see me and Dom working on cars.
Yeah.
Potentially, very, very potentially, because
we have been talking about it, haven't we?
Because I've got an utterly broken car. Your Honda needs servicing.
It needs. We've both got cars that need work doing in some way, shape, or form.
I mean, yours still goes fast. Mine just doesn't rev fast 2,500 RPM before the turbo goes.
So there should be in this summer break. There should be plenty of YouTube, TikTok, Instagram content going out for us all to indulge ourselves into. But there won't be any normal episodes until the 29th of August, which is the Friday where practice starts for the Dutch Grand Prix. So,
you know, it's all looking good. As I said, as always, Dom, where can we find you?
So you can find me at DJ Dom Cook on whatever social media platform tickles your fancy.
And you can find me at Sentio Silvano, again, on pretty much everything.
Where can you find
the pod?
The pod is box pod, all one word, depending on wherever you search for it. Just search box pod. It's all one word, no spacing, and you will find us. It seems like we're a good halfway point of since we started the podcast as well.
I agree. And do you know what I feel it's time for?
Go on.
A jet to holiday. You know why?
Why?
Right now.
You can save
up to £50.
Do you know how many like unofficial shout out and like sponsor spots with, for a family of four?
For a family of four, Tom.
We've given like so many unpaid shout outs to all these different companies.
I know, mate. I'm trying to get sponsors.
We need a sponsor. We would love a refreshing, hydrating sponsor for the episode if anyone wants to bring it in.
However, we're not taking that Raid Shadow Legends sponsor.
No.
Maybe. Maybe.
They'd have to give me some Raid Shadow Legend looking car to get them to do it. But yeah.
What happens if they said, we'll do it and we'll get you a low mileage, super clean, no rust EP3?
You too can play Raid Shadow Legends using the discount code BoxBoxBoxPod30.
For context, that doesn't exist.
No.
Lovely.
It's been fun. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Love you. Bye.
In a bezel.